Time to meet the men from the ministry. We're off once again for a wander down Whitehall with Norma Ronald, Ronald Baddeley, John Graham, Jilly Grantham, and the men from the ministry, Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler. In the General Assistance Department, dedicated men work long hours in the public service. Not for them the rich rewards of power, wealth, or fame. For government officials, happiness is the satisfaction of a job well done, and the joy of hearing those few simple words that make it all worthwhile.
Thank heavens, it's 11 days.
Ah, well done, Mildred. Put my another draft forward, would you?
No sign of Mr. Lamb yet?
No. Better cover his cup with that bowler hat. Save it getting cold.
No, I can't think what's happened to him. Even you're never as light as this.
Yes. Well, I hope he's not ill. He told me his landlady has Persian flu.
Persian flu?
Yes, they think she got it from the cat.
That'll be Mr. Lamb now. Nobody else trips over the fire bucket and falls down the step.
Morning, ma'am. Hello, Mildred.
Morning, Mr. Lamb.
Two. You should have been here an hour ago.
Why, what happened?
We was wondering where you was, Mr. Lamb.
I was taking my salary to the bank.
Oh. I suppose it's too small to go by itself.
Is this going to be a nice normal day in the office, or will we have to do any work?
You might, sir. The Ministry of Defence were on again, checking them jobs we're handling. They're specially worried about the men's room at Longwick Airport.
Oh, well, there are bound to be teething troubles at a new airport, and the men's room has to go somewhere.
Yes, sir, but they don't like it in the middle of the main runway.
I don't know. These defence people are always fussing, aren't they? Oh, did you do that other thing, too, for the Women's Army, Northern Command?
Yes, last week. Mm. I ordered a special consignment of woolen underwear.
Good. Apparently they find the wind very chilly around the Orkneys and Shetlands.
Well, they'll be all right now. The stuff I sent will cover their requirements. And I fixed something else, too. Southern Command wanted more of those big armoured vehicles.
Tanks.
Don't mention it.
Well, I've not been idle myself, you know. I know. I arranged for new parachute silk to go to the paratroop regiment. You sent off all the orders, Mildred, did you?
Yes, sir. Good. Everything's under hand.
Yes. Hello, General Assistant Department. Lennox Brown speaking.
Brigadier Trench Coates here, paratroop regiment.
Oh, yes, Brigadier, and what can I do for you, sir?
Nothing else if I have my way. You were supposed to send us supplies of parachute silk.
Yes, indeed, sir. They were dispatched on receipt of your form in triplicate.
The parachute silk was not sent to us, man. You sent us a dozen crates of women's woolen undergarments.
Women's undergarments?
Don't say there's been a bloomer.
Quiet, you.
My men have been jumping out of their aircraft in good faith, only to find themselves floating to the ground with woolen drawers in one hand and a vest in the other.
Oh, dear me, an unfortunate combination.
It's outrageous. It's unbelievable. We ask for parachute silk and you send us woolen...
Knickers.
What? Dare you speak to me like that. I'll have you drummed out of the civil service. You've not heard the last of this.
Well, I'm afraid he isn't pleased to. Do you think he was calling from Aldershot?
Shouldn't be surprised. With a voice like that, he doesn't need a phone.
Really, this is too bad, you know. Slip-ups like that could give the department a bad name. Mildred, I blame you. Yes, you dispatched the orders. You must have transposed the requisitions.
Well, either that or I mixed up the papers.
I'm afraid you're becoming too slack altogether. Loafing around your desk, painting your nails all day.
Well, lots of girls paint their nails in the office, sir.
Fingernails, perhaps, but you're the only one I know who sits there painting her toenails. Mr. Crawley was quite embarrassed when he saw that naked foot on your desk.
Oh.
He said the toes seemed to be watching him.
I hope the permanent undersecretary doesn't hear about this paratroop business.
He's bound to, isn't he? It all goes back to Sir Gregory. And there's another thing.
Yes, sir.
If the paratroop's got the ladies' underwear, who got the parachute silk?
Aha! Here you are, eh? Cornered!
Oh, good morning, Sir Gregory.
It is not a good morning, Lennox Brown. It's a horrible morning.
It's a horrible...
I've just had a phone call from the Commandant of the Women's Royal Army Corps, Northern Command. Apparently, they urgently needed material for service undergarments.
Yes, sir. Yes, but there may have been a slight error.
A slight error? They were sent parachute silk.
Yes.
These women are now wearing knickers which have printed on the seat, count 10 before pulling ripcord.
Odd business. But never mind, sir. We'll get to the bottom of it.
And not only that. In a fierce gale, two privates were blown off the ground. They floated upwards and haven't been seen since.
They must have had the wind up.
Of all the crass, blundering idiocy, of all the stupid, half-witted... Really, I'm speechless.
Oh, good.
What was that?
Oh, good heavens. Is what he was going to say, sir, yes. But don't you worry, don't you worry. We'll sort it out somehow.
You'd better, Lennox Brown, or you won't collect your pension.
Hey, not get my pension?
No, it'll all go to your widow.
Well, Mildred, a fine mess you've landed us in.
I'm sorry, sir. Yes. It's not like me, is it? You used to say my work was execrable.
Hello, switchboard? Switchboard. Oh, it's Lennox Brown here. Look, I've been trying to ring my garage, but I can't seem to get through. Can you help? Yes, I know there's a rule about no private calls, but that's only for junior executives. I don't bother about that in my position.
Ah, Lennox Brown.
Yes, thank you, Minister. Thank you. Yes, very glad to be of help, sir. Goodbye, Minister. Hello, Sir Gregory. I didn't see you come in. How are you, sir?
I came in earlier and the office was unmanned, man. Where the blazes were you? Not late, I trust.
I'm afraid my car let me down, sir. They came to a sudden halt in Trafalgar Square. Couldn't get it to move.
Ah, indeed. Did you try the starting handle?
I did, sir. It didn't help. But as I was swinging it round, an old lady gave me tuppence and said she was only sorry she was too deaf to hear the music.
That car of yours is a wreck, Lennox Brown.
I'm thinking of getting rid of her.
Well, I hope you do. The wretched thing's a disgrace to the Ministry car park. Anyway, I haven't come here to chat. I've another job for you.
Oh, dear me. For the Defence Ministry, sir?
Yes, they have some troops at a tiny base in the Indian Ocean, a little island called St. Vitus.
Ah, yes, I've heard of it. Very remote spot, I understand.
Yes. The men are extremely short of recreational facilities, and we've been asked to send out some suitable stuff.
Ah, you mean books, games, amusements, that sort of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. We'll put it in hand at once.
Yes, we'll do all we can, sir. Yeah.
Where is Lamb?
Well, he's probably in the canteen with Mildred. Yes. They've taken to having their 11s there lately. Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, I'll look into this invitus business as soon as possible, so you can rely on me.
Eat up, Mildred. You scarcely touched your third doughnut. What's wrong?
Snapping, Mr. Lamb.
Come along, Mildred. You could talk to me. Think of me as your mother.
Oh. Well, it's like this, Mum. Mr. Lennox Brown thinks you've gone off me. Since that business with the paratroops, he's always hinting that I'm inefficient.
Oh, surely not.
He's given me a right inferiority complexion.
I'm sure he doesn't mean it. I'll have a word with him if you like.
Oh, would you, Mr. Lamb? You are kind. Say, I may not be perfect, but at least I'm steady.
Mm.
Well, I mustn't sit here chatting or I'll miss me lunch hour. Will you tell me later how you got on?
Hello. Oh, I was speaking to the manager of the... Oh, you're back. Good. Yes. Well, look, have you got a mechanic to spare? I see. Right, splendid. Well, you know where my car is. I want him to have a good look at her.
Hello, I didn't know you were on the phone.
He's an expert, is he? Yes, and he'll make a report to me. Well, she keeps letting me down. I'll probably have to get rid of her. Thank you, goodbye.
Juan, did I hear you say you might get rid of her?
Yes, that's right. It's obvious to me she's past her best.
But, Juan, you can't. I mean, she may not be perfect, but at least she's steady.
Nonsense. Just lately she's been hopeless. Sir Gregory says she's a disgrace, and I can't tell you what the hall porter thinks of her.
But you mustn't listen to them.
Look, we were going along Whitehall after work the other evening, and she broke down. Just broke down.
Good gracious, what did you do?
Well, what could I do? I pushed her up an alleyway and left her.
No.
Of course. She stayed there all night, as a matter of fact.
All night? But, well, how could you? If you treat her like that, things will never improve.
I tell you, she's had it, too. Now's the time for her to go on the scrap heap.
Oh, please think again, Juan. Don't do anything you'll regret.
What a stupid fuss you're making. I've made up my mind she's got to go.
Oh.
I'll soon get a replacement. I fancy one with flexible bumpers. Yes, well, I'm off to the club now. They do a rather good executive ploughman's lunch. See you later.
What's come over him? He was never this hard-hearted. I suppose he's at a difficult age.
Well, Mr. Lamb, did you have a word with old Yogi Bear? Tell him to stop picking on me.
Mildred, I don't know what to say. I don't quite know how to put it.
Ooh, you've gone all rigid. Like that time your landlady starched your vest.
Mr. Lennox Brown, well, he's thinking of getting rid of you.
No. You mean make me repugnant? Oh, Mr. Lamb, he wouldn't, would he?
He seems quite set on it. Still, I'm sure you'll find a job somewhere else.
That's all very well, but it wouldn't be like the ministry. I might have to work.
A rotten prospect, I agree.
Well, I'm not having it, Mr. Lamb. I'm not going to let him sack me. I'm going to fight.
Quite right, Mildred. You must fight.
And you must help me.
And I... What? What can I do?
You go and see Sir Gregory. Tell him not to let Mr. Lennox Brown push me around.
Me? Tell Sir Gregory?
You're my friend, aren't you? You'll stand up for me.
Sir Gregory's very busy at the moment. He's got this new girlfriend, Fenella Freebody, the civil service beauty queen.
Never mind her. He'll listen to you, Mr. Lamb.
But I've got to have my lunch, my yoghurt sandwiches.
Mr. Lamb, where's your Dunkirk spirit? You've got to do it, Mr. Lamb, please.
Oh, very well, Mildred. I'll see Sir Gregory.
Thank you, Mr. Lamb.
Next week.
Next week's no good. Mr. Lennox Brown might have had his way with me by then. Go now, Mr. Lamb. You can do it. Now, come on, I'll take you along.
Mildred, please, let go of my arm.
Here we are. This is Sir Gregory's office.
Are you sure, Mildred?
Well, his name's on the blooming door, isn't it? Anyone would think you were nervous.
I mean, it might be a different Sir Gregory Pitkin.
Oh, blimey. Look, just knock at the door and go in.
Oh, very well. He's not in. What a shame. Let's go.
Mr. Lamb, of course he's in. Here, I'll knock. Oh.
Come!
See? He is there. In you go, and good luck. I'm depending on you.
No, it's you, Lamb. What the blazes do you want?
Oh, nothing, Sir Gregory. Sorry to bother you. I'll go. Don't worry.
Oh, come back, man, and stop dithering. What is it?
It's rather a delicate matter, sir, of a private nature.
I can spare you 1 minute.
Thank you. You see, the point is...
58 seconds.
It's our secretary, Mildred Murfin. She's in trouble.
What? Miss Murfin in trouble? What do you mean she's... in trouble?
She's been rather careless lately. But she's a good girl at heart.
Good Lord.
Personally, I think Mr. Lennox Brown's to blame.
Lennox Brown? Lennox Brown? I'd no idea.
Now he wants to get rid of her.
I see.
In a way, I feel responsible.
You're responsible? You mean you're both involved? Oh, this is a shock, Lamb. You'd better pass me the medicinal brandy. It's on the first aid tray next to the soda side.
Yes, yes. Here, Arthur. I don't think Miss Murfin ought to be sacked. She does make mistakes, but she's very obliging.
So, on the first aid tray next to the soda side.
Yes, yes. Here, Arthur. I don't think Miss Murfin ought to be sacked. She does make mistakes, but she's very obliging.
So I gather. Well, we must look into this in a calm and humane fashion. If Miss Murfin is in trouble, it's up to us to help. I suggest the first thing is a medical check.
A medical check?
Yes, get on to that new ministry doctor. Have him examine her before any decision is made. I'll be considering the ministry's position.
Yes, Sir Gregory.
Off you go then, Lamb. You bad lad.
Thank you, Sir Gregory. You know, at times like this, you're almost human.
Oh, get out, man! Well, well, well. Lennox, Brown, and Lamb, eh? Who'd have imagined it? That canteen food must be richer than I thought.
Hello? Fenella Freebody speaking.
Hello, my dear. It's Bunny here. I have some good news for you.
Oh, Bunny. Not that diamond bracelet I was admiring. You shouldn't.
I haven't, no. No, my dear. This is something even better. I know how you hate working in archives in that dreary basement.
Well... I do think now I'm the civil service beauty queen, I ought to do something exciting.
So do I, my dear, so do I. And I believe I've found you a better position. One of our secretaries here will be leaving. I'll put you in her place.
Bunny, me a secretary? secretary. Oh, super.
That's right, my little passion flower. The office is just down the corridor from mine. Rather handy, what? I look forward to seeing more of you.
Yes, Mildred, I told Sir Gregory very firmly that you mustn't be sacked. I'm sure he's going to support you.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Lamb. You're a real brick.
Of course, he didn't give in straight away. He couldn't admit he's frightened of me. He pretended to have to think about it, and he says you're to have a medical check.
A medical check?
I expect it's to show, LB, you're perfectly fit for the job. He wants you to be seen by the ministry doctor.
Well, I don't mind seeing the doctor. I might get some new teeth for me dad.
Well, the sooner the better, I suppose. I'll fix the appointment now. I gather we've got a new man since they took Dr. Simmons away.
Hello, Ministry Surgery. Nurse Bright speaking.
Oh, this is Richard Lamb, General Assistance Department. The Permanent Undersecretary wants the doctor to give our secretary a check-up. As soon as possible, please.
Just let me look at the book. Ah, he could see her at 3 this afternoon.
Oh, good. It's Miss Murfin, by the way, and could he give his report to Mr. Lennox Brown in this office?
Very well. He'll call and see Mr. Lennox Brown when he's done the examination.
Yes, thank you very much, nurse. Keep up the good work. There we are, Mildred. It's all fixed. Now cheer up and I'll buy you some lunch at that new Indian restaurant, the Cash and Curry.
Yes, my dear, I just rang to say I'll be home early. I've had a trying day. The car broke down this morning. Yes, again, yes. Well, I've got a man having a look at her, but I'll be coming home by train. Oh, ask Mrs. Pratt if she can leave her bike at the station, will you? Otherwise, I'll have to walk. Yes, and tell her not to leave her Wellingtons in the basket this time. It makes it so top-heavy. No, I don't know what's wrong with the car. I'm waiting for the expert to come in and report. But I can tell you that I've had enough of it. She'll have to go.
This is the General Assistant Department, Doctor. You'll find Mr. Lennox Brown in there.
Thank you, nurse. Hmm? You'd better get back to the surgery now, and I'll be with you as soon as I've told him about his secretary.
No, my dear, I won't forget the wrap glove. Ah, wait a minute. I think this is the expert now with his report. See you later, my dear. Bye-bye.
Mr. Lennox Brown, yes. I have the report for you.
Oh, thank you, yes. You've had a good look at her, eh?
I have, and I can confidently state that there's nothing wrong with her at all.
Nothing wrong with her? Then why does she keep breaking down?
Well, perhaps you've been driving her too hard.
Nonsense, I handle her extremely carefully. She's always been regularly serviced. You're sure you've really stripped her down?
Are you suggesting I don't know my job? I tell you, if she doesn't work well, it can only be that she's wrongly treated.
Well, it's certainly not by me. Suppose it could be my brother. He's used her a lot. He can be a bit rough.
Oh, really?
In fact, come to think of it, he learnt on her.
Mr. Lennox Brown, I'd rather not hear about your family's habits.
Well, don't speak to me like that, my good man. The point is, she's no more use to me. Now, she won't move unless I give her a shove. I propose to get a new one.
Well, that's up to you. It's not my department.
Quite. Now, you must excuse me. If I'm late home, my wife worries.
Well, the way you go on, I'm not surprised.
Well, Mr. Lamb, I wouldn't like to go through that again. Them National Health doctors never warm their blooming stethoscopes, do they?
Never mind, Mildred. From what you tell me, the doctor will say you're A1.
If you ask me, that doctor's a bit of A1 and all.
Anyway, he'll be up in a minute to tell LB you're perfectly fit for the job. Hello? LB's not here.
That's typical, isn't it? Just when he's needed, he's been and gone and went.
Well, I'll be here to collect the doctor's report.
Thanks, Mr. Lamb. I want to nip down the washroom and powder me knees.
Powder your knees?
Yeah, that doctor hit them with a little rubber hammer. See you later.
All right, Mildred.
There's a rainbow round my shoulder, so I needn't wear a scarf.
Excuse me, miss. My name's Bruce. I'm from the garage. I've been looking at Mr. Lennox Brown's wee car for him.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's out, I'm afraid.
Oh. Well, can I leave this report for him? He said it was urgent.
I don't know anything about this. But if you go in that office, you'll find Mr. Lennox Brown's colleague, Mr. Lamb.
Oh, aye. Well, thank you very much, lassie. Mr. Lamb?
Yes?
I have this report for Mr. Lennox Brown. Can I leave it with you?
Yes, of course. I've been expecting you. It was you that examined her, was it?
Aye, I did.
What's the verdict?
Well, I'd best be frank. I jacked her up and had a real go at her. I'm afraid I wasn't impressed.
You mean there is something wrong with her?
Something wrong with her? Man, she's a wreck. Her big end's in an awful state. It took me an hour to get her started. And then she conked out after 5 minutes.
Good gracious.
Oh, she's got no staying power, you see. And her bodywork's a mess. There's no spring in her chassis.
This is terrible news.
Aye, oh, I know you get sentimental about them when you've had them for a little while. But Mr. Lennox Brown really ought to get rid of her.
That's your considered opinion.
Aye, she just hasn't got it anymore. It isn't fair to expect it.
I see. Well, I'll tell Mr. Lennox Brown. Thanks for letting us know.
Oh, you're welcome, laddie. Good afternoon to you.
Poor Mildred, after all these years. Still, perhaps it's for the best. Obviously, the pressure here is too much for her.
Oh, Lamb, I've been thinking about Miss Murphy, and I feel it's better that she should go.
I've just heard the doctor's report, sir, and I'm afraid I have to agree with you.
But by a stroke of good fortune, I've already found a replacement.
Really?
Yes, little girl in archives has been recommended for promotion there. Miss Freebody, or some such name.
Fenella Freebody? She won the Civil Service Beauty Contest, didn't she?
Oh, yes, I believe she did.
But, Sir Gregory, how can we break the news to Mildred?
Leave that to me, Lamb. I'm used to this sort of thing. I'll tell her gently and tactfully.
Oh, Sir Gregory. Good afternoon, sir.
Miss Murphy, I have something to tell you. You're fired.
Quiet, please, everyone. Friends, girls, fellow ministry typists, I've called you to this meeting because I've been unfairly treated. The capitalist bosses have demanded my resignation. And not only that, I've been sacked. This is liberty.
It's a ruddy scandal.
Thank you, Vanessa. Now, don't forget, sisters, next time it could happen to you.
She's not wrong, she's right.
We're like prawns in their hands. Militant action, that's the answer. We'll have a sit down.
You mean a sit in?
Yes, Flora, we'll have one of them and all. All in favour, put their hands up.
And all those who aren't, get a punch up the uter.
And here is the news read by John Curl. Civil service secretaries are continuing their militant action. This afternoon, a large number of girls were still sitting on Whitehall roofs, pelting passers-by with typewriter ribbons. Many of these had typewriters attached. The first casualty of the dispute was a ministry executive, Mr. Richard Lamb, who crossed a picket line, apparently under the impression that the chanting pickets were carol singers. A group of angry secretaries chased him round Nelson's column and grabbed him by the plinth. He was taken to hospital where he was said to be uncomfortable. Later, hundreds of women marched to Hyde Park, carrying banners saying, "We are shorthand typists and we won't be dictated to."
Another frozen hamburger, too.
Thank you, well. They're helping my black eyes a lot.
Yes, well, steak would be better, but it's so expensive. Anyway, those days in bed have done you good. And our problems are all sorted out now.
I never dreamt you were talking about your car. What an awful misunderstanding.
Here we are, lovely cup of cha.
Thank you, Mildred, thank you. Honestly, too, how you could think I'd get rid of a girl who not only warms the pot, but the tray as well.
Well, it was partly my fault, sir. I jumped to the wrong confusion.
Never mind, you called off the strike very promptly as soon as the truth came out.
Well, the girls were quite glad to pack it in. Most of them didn't know what it was all in aid of anyway.
And to think Sir Gregory was all set to replace you with his new girlfriend.
Fenella Freebody's everyone's girlfriend. It's so dark down in archives.
He wasn't very pleased, too, when he found it wasn't on. Especially after he promised her. Mm. Luckily, a vacancy cropped up in Downing Street.
In Downing Street? I say.
Yeah, he got her in as a cabinet room stenographer. I sent off her transfer on Friday.
Well done, Mildred.
And I've also put in a requisition for them things to go to that military base.
Oh, yes.
Billiard tables, ping-pong gear, barrels of beer and a couple of jukeboxes. They're all on their way to St. Vitus.
Lennox Barnes.
What?
Lamb.
Speaking.
I've just had a phone call from 10 Downing Street. The Prime Minister spoke to me personally.
He's no snob, is he?
He wants to know who had 2 jukeboxes, 3 billiard tables, and 4 dozen barrels of beer delivered to the cabinet room.
Ooh, the cabinet room? Oh, glory.
Of course, he's delighted.
Oh, I'm sure we can explain, sir. You see, if only... Did you say delighted, sir?
Well, the PM feels cabinet meetings will go much more smoothly now they can plan the nation's affairs over a quiet game of snooker and a pint.
What a relief. For a moment, I thought you were going to be cross with us.
Yes, I was afraid you'd go all purple in the face and start shouting, but I was wrong.
No, Lennox Brown, you were right! That stuff was supposed to go to St. Vitus, wasn't it?
Oh, dear, so it was.
So the soldiers haven't been sent any sports facilities?
Oh, yes, they have, Lennox Brown. Yes, they have. Someone in this office mixed up the requisitions. So the plane now heading for the Indian Ocean is carrying Fenella Freebody. She's described in orders as recreation for the troops. I'll murder the lot of them. And you lot.
Muddling through as the men from the ministry were Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler. Also featured were Norma Ronald, Ronald Baddeley, John Graham and Gilly Grafton. The program was written by Edward Taylor and John Graham and produced by Edward Taylor.